Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. It's been often said that getting a good education is a foothold for success in life. More and more parents are beginning to track their young early for success, as early as the preschool years. Today we're going to talk to Dr. Gail Bjorklund, an expert on preschools. Dr. Bjorklund is director of George Mason's rather unusual program, the Project for the Study of Young Children. She's going to give some tips on how to select a good preschool program. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Gail.
Thank you, Michelle.
When is a good time for parents to begin looking at preschools?
Actually, Michelle, we have many parents who begin looking at preschools when their children are born. And in many cases, it's probably a good idea to begin to acquaint yourself with some of the options available quite early on. There are so many options, and it takes a while to really adequately assess all of the possibilities that are available. But generally, many of the programs in this area begin to enroll children in the fall and early winter months. So by the springtime, many programs are already full for the following year. So easily a good year or two before a child is three or four, parents can begin to start looking around.
What age would you say is the best age to enroll a child in a preschool program?
In the years that I've been working with preschool children, I usually find that most children, by the time they're age 2.5 to 3, are really anxious to become involved with other children. Now, many families, because of the neighborhoods that they live in, can provide that for children very readily at home. But if they find that there are limited numbers of children that are available for their children to interact with, then that's a good time to begin, about age 3.
Is there a difference between a daycare center and a preschool?
Generally, you do find some differences. Certainly, a daycare center is available for care for children from early morning hours to perhaps early evening hours. In that sense, a daycare center will often have goals that relate to the general care and well-being of children. While they will have educational goals, that will be part of a whole. In a preschool setting, oftentimes the children are really just going for a half a day, either in the morning or the afternoon, and the focus will be primarily developmental, educational, rather than care in routine kinds of situations, such as food, clothing, rest, this kind of thing.
More and more kindergarten teachers are expecting incoming children to have had some preschool. What are the disadvantages, if any, of bypassing preschool altogether?
Mm-hmm. Statistically, there are well over half of the children that enter kindergarten who have gone to preschool. According to not only informal comments from kindergarten teachers as well as research that's been done, for some children, preschool is very critical for later success. And that would, again, primarily be in the area of social and emotional growth in children. So that children who, for example, are not in a neighborhood where they have an opportunity to encounter children of their own age, then preschool is really important for them, because more and more kindergartens are jumping into many of the areas that have to do with perhaps more what we would consider intellectual growth in children. And they are assuming that many of the entering children have worked out methods of dealing with social problems and being able to express their emotions in positive ways with other children. So for some children, preschool is very important. If a family feels as if they, in their home or neighborhood environment, can provide a good, varied opportunity for their children to interact with other children their age, if they get at home plenty of physical activity outside, running, jumping, climbing, that the parents are able to supervise, if the parents have the time and the patience to really work with their child, both individually as well as with neighborhood children, then some of these children may not really need a preschool. But most of the families that I talk with find that they can't do all of those things in a family setting as well as they would like, and they look to preschool to help supplement rather than take over.
So for the most part, preschools are good places for social interaction, mm-hmm. primarily for young children.
Right. And through that social encounter, children will develop all aspects of their growth. We find that very often children learn most about their world intellectually and physically also through other children. So it's not only a social situation, but very much an active intellectual and physical learning environment too.
This area in particular has a number of different kinds of preschool concepts, such as Montessori, developmental, and even academic. What are the distinguishing characteristics about the ones that I've just mentioned?
Okay. Montessori schools are indeed very popular in this area. And they vary considerably even among themselves. But by and large, when someone goes into a Montessori classroom, you tend to see children involved in individual pursuits, which generally are looked at as their work. Many Montessori programs in that kind of setting do not really foster as much in the social area or as much in the creative and dramatic play kind of opportunities, because they are doing much with fine motor skill development, many kinds of intellectual skills that children learn by themselves by interacting with planned physical materials in a planned kind of way. In that regard, I think it's important for parents to go in and see if that's the kind of situation that their child would function in best. An active child who likes to be very creative in their activities and very spontaneous may have more trouble in dealing with the structure in a Montessori classroom and the individual kind of activity. An academic preschool approach probably would tend to focus very much on basic skills and the learning of ABCs, of number concepts, and this kind of approach. In order to do that, an academic preschool will probably have a lot of adult-dominated activities, because very often a child, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, will not choose to sit down for 15 minutes and write their ABCs.
And what about developmental, such as the Project for the Study of Young Children?
At the Project for the Study of Young Children, which we do view as a developmental program, we try to plan activities for children that are focused within a play context so that children can choose and create their activities within a planned environment, so that the materials are available based on what we observe as individual needs, and that will enable children to develop all of their personality, the whole child, rather than focusing in on only one aspect. So we do emphasize, of course, social and emotional aspects of growth. We look at cognitive and intellectual growth in children, and we also focus on the physical. One of the ways that we've been able to do that quite successfully this year at the Project is through working with the families very closely. In October, we do some assessment of the children. We meet with the parents and identify some of the priorities for children in their development, plan individual activities based on those needs that we see for individual children, and then use play as the way that we will develop those individual needs.
How do parents determine a quality preschool program? You say that in the Project, for example, there's a lot of interaction between your staff and parents.
Right.
What can parents look for?
Mm-hmm. And I do think that it is important. You said before starting early, and that there is a lot to observe. The Office for Children very often is a good place to start because they have a directory of licensed programs. And of course, the fact that a program is licensed is a good starting place. And they can help you identify areas in your geographic area or neighborhood. Then the best thing to do is to, once you identify some schools, maybe talk to people, get some notion, call some of the programs. But by and large, I think the biggest thing that I would recommend would be to go and observe. That you can't tell what is really going on unless you go to observe in a classroom. And I tend to encourage parents that come to observe our program for the first time to try to get a time during the day that they can come, maybe by themselves without their child, so that they really can observe and just observe what's going on with other children and with the teachers in a program. Later on, they can see how their child fits in with that program, but you can avoid a lot of confusion with younger children who are hopping from one program to another if the parents have done some of this field work beforehand.
Now, what kinds of things should parents observe?
Okay, there are probably three main areas that they can look at. One would be to see how the school has arranged their space and their time. Parents should look for what in the field we call learning centers, or small areas in a larger room that are set aside for special activities. For example, at the project we have a house area, we have a block center, we have water and sand, an art center, a book area, a science area, and these are divided so that the children can move during the day to these different centers. The centers are open to all children rather than having some structure that says you can only spend 15 minutes here and now you have to move to this. I like to see the children can choose on their own their use of that space and the time that they have in it. There should be a lot of time organized for free choice. So at least an hour during the day should be that time where the children can move on their own from activity to activity. There should also be, as you're looking for how people organize space and time, opportunity for group interactions in maybe snack or something like a story time, and lots of opportunity for large motor development. Outdoor play, some indoor games that involve maybe dance or creative movement. The second thing might be how children are able to use materials and how available the materials are to them. They should basically, I think, be easily accessible to children so that they can freely go up to a shelf and say, these are the blocks, I can reach them and I can take them down. Mm-hmm. And not only blocks, but things like housekeeping materials, art materials such as paste, paper, that then children can use on their own to create. I like to see a varied amount of materials, not so much your Toys R Us variety, but things that you might not see at home, and that they're arranged in some kind of an orderly fashion. And finally, perhaps most importantly, looking at the amount and type of adult interaction, looking for a calm environment, but one that's got lots of activity and interaction between adult and child, but that's child-centered rather than adult-centered. You're looking for teachers who are able to build on the children's activities.
So in summarizing what you've just said, you've mentioned three key areas, and they are?
Organizing time and space, how the programs let the children use materials, how available those materials are, and then the amount and type of adult interaction.
Thank you for being on Frankly Speaking, Gail.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.